So as we turn to our scriptures for this day, I think we should pray. Let's pray. Help us to hear your word, O God. Holy Spirit, silence in us any voices except your own, so that we will hear your story of life and let it settle into our hearts. For it is in Christ we pray. Amen. Our Old Testament lesson this morning is Psalm 42. Let us listen now for the word of God. As a deer longs for flowing streams, so my soul longs for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and behold the face of God? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me continually, "Where is your God?" These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I went with the throng and led them in the procession to the house of God, with glad shouts and songs of thanksgiving, a multitude keeping festival. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my help and my God. My soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I remember you from the land of Jordan and of Hermon from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep at the thunder of your cataracts. All your waves and your billows have gone over me. By day, the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I walk about mournfully because the enemy oppresses me? As with a deadly wound in my body, my adversaries taunt me, while they say to me continually, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my help and my God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
From the New Testament, the 11th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, reading the first 13 verses. You may follow along on page 72 in the New Testament section of the Pew Bible if you would like. Listen now for God's word. He, that being Jesus, he was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial.' And he said to them, 'Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him." And he answers from within, "Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will you give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" The word of the Lord. One of the best books ever about prayer, in fact, maybe one of the best books, period, is Olive Ann Burns' novel from the mid-80s, Cold Sassy Tree. It's about a family in rural northeast Georgia in the early 1900s as they reckon with the death of 14-year-old Will Tweedy's grandmother, Mattie Lou. More importantly, it's also about how they handle the scandal of Will's grandpa, Rucker Blakesley's, decision 3 weeks after Mattie Lou has died to propose to and marry Miss Love Simpson, a woman some 25 years younger than him. The book is full of wisdom and wonderful tales, but at one point, Will and his grandpa are in the kitchen, and they're talking about the death of a young friend of Will's, as well as the recent death of Mattie Lou, Will's grandmother. And that's when the conversation turns to prayer and the struggle with prayer that most of us have. Grandpa Will says, "Why you think Jesus said, 'Ask the Lord for anything you want and you'll get it'? Ask and it shall be given, the Bible says. But it ain't so." Will, who is narrating the story, says, "I felt blasphemous even to think it, much less say that out loud." But Grandpa was silent for a long time. Maybe Jesus was talking in his sleep, son. Or folks heard him wrong. Or maybe them disciples trying to start a church thought everybody would join up if, and they said, Jesus Christ would give the Garden of Eden to anybody who believed he was the Son of God, and like that. Grandpa laughed. "Gosh," thought Will, "I'd get a whipping if my dad knew what was going on with the word in his kitchen." "All I know," Grandpa added, "is that folks pray for food and still go hungry. And Adam and Eve ain't in that garden of theirs no more, and your granny ain't in hers. And I ain't got no son of my own to carry on the name and help me run the store when I'm old." Like you say, Will, you don't get things just by asking. Jesus must have meant something else, not what it sounds like. What did Jesus mean? "Ask and you shall receive," or "ask and it shall be given you." Most of us have asked for things, important things, that didn't happen. So, with that, what is prayer? Why do we do it? What should we expect to happen when we pray? That's the question that was posed by one of our folks here. As we seek to love these questions this summer, it seems to me that a question about prayer brings a host of other questions with it. So what is prayer anyway? At its most simple, prayer is conversation with God. Prayer is our calling upon God as we express our thanks or praise or sorrow or regret, or as we ask for God's help for ourselves or for others. Some have said that prayer is so deeply rooted in who we are as human beings that everyone prays one way or another, even those who may not claim to believe anything about God whatsoever. As the 42nd Psalm shows so beautifully, there is something in us, I believe, that longs for God. And prayer is a way that we express that longing and a way that we find that longing being addressed. Prayer can also be a means by which we grow closer in our relationship with God and with other people. Richard Foster once wrote that prayer is how our hearts find their true home. God is inviting us, he says, you and me, to come home to where we belong, to come to that for which we are created, which is life with God. God's heart will take us in. So, in other words, when we pray, our hearts are making their way home. Lord, teach us to pray, ask Jesus' disciples, and he teaches them. We get to overhear that, and he teaches us too. He teaches them how to pray in the spirit in which they should keep at it. Through the Gospels, we see Jesus praying, and we pray his prayer together every week here together. Many of us pray it every day. That prayer is not magic. It's not like some special incantation that's going to solve every problem, give us everything we want, and make everything right with the world. I think if that were so, things would probably be different from how they are for most of us. But prayer does refocus us on who God is, and on who we are, and on ways that God may be present in the midst of whatever it is that's happening with us. Prayer sets us longing for the reign of God, for peace and wholeness, for the well-being of all of God's people, on earth as in heaven. And that's what God wants. God wants blessing, fullness of life for all the families of the earth. And when we pray, we get in touch with God's desire in that way. This daily bread for which Jesus tells us to ask is the only thing in the prayer. And it's a pretty basic one. Jesus teaches us to ask for our relationships to be made right when they're broken, between God and us, and also with each other. He teaches us to lift up our hope that we might not be brought to trials of faith or life. So when we do this, when we pray, I mean, what can we expect to happen? Do we expect that God is going to snap to attention and immediately give us everything that we're asking for? I don't think so. At least it doesn't happen with me. Maybe it happens with you. And if so, please see me after church. I would love to know what you're doing. I have to say, I'm pretty sure that what I want at any given moment just might not be what's actually best for me or for this world. I mean, think, what a mess this world would be. What a mess we would be if God gave all of us exactly what we wanted when we asked. We would be worse than spoiled children. Could you imagine trying to live with us if that's how it was? Now, that's not to say that we are not disappointed when we don't get what we ask for. I think of Mark Twain's Huckleberry Finn as Huck is struggling with what it means for prayer to be answered or not. He says, "Miss Watson, she took me in the closet and prayed, but nothing come of it. She told me to pray every day, and whatever I asked for, I'd get it. But it weren't so. I tried. Once I got a fish line, but no hooks. There weren't any good to me without hooks. I tried for the hooks 3 or 4 times, but somehow I couldn't make it work." If we expect our prayers to be answered immediately with whatever we ask for, then surely we're going to be disappointed, especially if what we're asking for is stuff. Grandpa Blakesley in Cold Sassy Tree makes a similar point where when he says to his new wife, Miss Love, "Ain't the best praying just being with God and talking a while like he's a good friend, instead of like he runs a store and you've come in hoping to get a bargain?" So what happens when we pray? Does prayer change God? Does God say, "Well, I was going to see to it that such and such happened, but then Randy asked that it not happen, so now it's not going to happen"? I mean, how does God simultaneously answer the farmer's prayer for rain and the family's prayer for clear weather for their wedding? If God simply chases around giving us what we want, then part of what that suggests is that we are really in charge, not God. And that God isn't interested in what's best. God is simply going to give us what we want. We should pray, and we should ask what we hope should happen. But even as we're praying, we should also trust that God is going to answer in ways that are best for us all, and not necessarily give us just whatever it is that we're asking for. John Calvin pointed out nearly 500 years ago that if we're honest, we don't know if our prayers change God. We know that God already wants what is best for all of us, for everyone. We don't know what that might look like exactly in any particular circumstance. But then Calvin says this: we may not know if our prayers change God, but we can fully expect to find that prayer changes us. It may be that God answers our prayers not just by doing what we want, but by changing us into people who are better able to live and love and serve in this world that God so loves. Prayer may be changing us into people who are wanting the right things. Prayer changes us. This I know to be true. Listen to how Grandpa Blakesley describes faith and the role that prayer plays in faith as he continues in his conversation with Miss Love. Well, faith ain't no magic wand or money-back guarantee, either one. It's just a way of living. It means you won't worry through the days. It means you're going to be holding on to God in good or bad times. It means you respect life like it is, like God made it, even when it ain't what you'd order from the wholesale house. Faith don't mean the Lord is going to make lions lay down with lambs just because you asked him to, or make fire not burn. Some folks, when they pray to get well and don't even get better, they say God let them down. But I say that weren't even what Jesus was talking about. When Jesus said, ask and you'll get it, he was given a guarantee of spiritual healing, not body healing. He was saying that if and you get beat down, scared to death you can't do what you got to do, or scared you're going to die, or scared folks won't like you, well, all you got to do is put your hand in God and he'll lift you up. I know it for a fact. I can pray, Lord, help me not to be scared. And I don't know how, but it's like an eraser wipes the fears away. And I found out a long time ago that when I look on what I got to stand as a dang hardship or a burden, it seems too heavy to carry. But when I look on the same dang thing as a challenge, why, standing it or accepting it is like you done entered a contest. It even gets exciting, waiting to see how everything's going to turn out. All of that transformation happens, according to Grandpa, as he's praying. I think Grandpa may be channeling Calvin a little bit as he explores this way that God changes us in our praying, making us more aware of who God is and what God is doing in the world, drawing us closer to our heart's true home, turning fear and worry into peace and hope and courage. Sisters and brothers, God wants us to pray. God calls us to pray, and when we pray, especially if we keep at it so that it becomes a part of the pattern of our days, then we can expect to draw closer to God, closer to God's people, especially the ones for whom we are praying, and more attentive to signs of God's activity in and around us. So, a few suggestions with regard to our praying. First of all, pray. Sort of like Nike, just do it. And not just here when we're together. Though we do pray a lot, as you noted earlier. Calvin suggested that it's a good pattern for us to pray when we wake up, before our work, before and after our meals, and then at the end of the day. Now, if you're not a regular prayer, that probably seems like a lot. So maybe pick one or two of those times and just start doing it. Second, as you pray, use your words, spoken or silent, but also listen. I'm not sure. I think it was Bono, the singer for the band U2, who once said that prayer for many of us is like picking up the phone and making a long-distance call while we talk without stopping, and then we hang up. We also need to be listening as part of this conversation with God. Third, a guide to prayer can be a big help. Pray the Psalms, maybe, or use a prayer book. At Montreat a couple of years ago, at one of our annual all-church retreats, we encourage folks to copy down a couple of verses from a psalm and then continue writing our own words as a response. That seemed to be a pretty good practice. Fourth, we should ask as we are praying. We should ask for help, ask for courage, ask for wisdom for others and for ourselves. It's a good thing to pray for healing, especially when we know that healing takes so many different forms, not all of which are physical. And then we should be paying attention to signs of an answer to what we're praying for. Or are we praying and letting it go and then just not thinking about it again? Or are we continuing to listen for how God may be at work answering that prayer? The answer may not be what we want, but we are very much encouraged to ask. Fifth, in keeping with the Psalms, we should share with God whatever it is that we're feeling. The Psalms lift up the whole of our human experience before God. It's okay to lament. It's okay to cry out. It's okay to celebrate. It's not a sin to be angry in our praying. Even then, maybe especially then, God would kind of like to hear from us. I think of all of this the way that parents want to hear from their children in happy and celebrating times, but also in hard times. We really mostly want to be together. Finally, I think it's a really good idea if we seek to live into that for which we pray. If we pray for peace, it'd be a good thing for us to be living peaceably. If we pray for the end of hunger, it's a good idea for us to share our bread with the breadless. If we pray for victims of war or violence, then it'd be a good thing for us to share in their relief. Someone once said that Presbyterians pray as if God does all the work and then get up and carry on as if we do all the work. That's not a bad model. Lean into that for which you're praying. And then pay attention. We just might find that we are becoming the answer to whatever it is that we're praying for. That God is somehow working through what we are doing as a means of bringing some good, helpful, whole thing into being. In our praying and in our living, it is my prayer that we do find our heart's true home, and that our prayerful living becomes a means by which God's kingdom comes. And God's will is done, will that is ever for sake of good, for the well-being of all of God's children. And that through our praying, others may find their own hardships lifted, may find their stresses relieved, may find blessing and joy for sake of knowing that they are surrounded by such a cloud of loving and praying folk. So let us now pray, as we sing, that God will come by here and come by those in every season and circumstance of life. Amen.